Near FM. The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there and welcome along to the programme. Welcome along to Week in Review. Now, as usual, today I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. I'll feature stories too about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, I'll have a look at the local stories that affect you as well. Now, if you'd like me to feature something on the programme, or indeed you'd like to get involved in the programme, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. That's open while the show is on the air. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at Near FM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Ken. Planning permission approved for Hoth apartments despite residents' objections. Tributes paid to a Ballybock hero for 40 years of volunteering. Gerard takes on the world skipping record even. We'll find out who Gerard is shortly. Dublin City Council to consider partially funding a Stardust memorial at the site of the fire. And young artists make the Northside proud with the long-running Texaco Art Competition. And we'll be looking at who the local prize winners are. Now, with World Mental Health Day coming up on October the 10th, there's never been a better time to think about how we mind our minds. The Walk in My Shoes campaign by St. Patrick's Mental Health Services is calling on us all to make our mental health a priority. Throughout October, it's hosting an interactive online programme of wellbeing events, workshops, that are created and curated as part of Walk in My Shoes Live. With themes including your wellbeing, family wellbeing and wellbeing in the community, the campaign is bringing people across Ireland and beyond together to learn about the things we can all do to support ourselves and each other. And Sarah will be joined in about 15 minutes' time by Walk in My Shoes campaign manager Amanda McArdle, who's here to tell us more about what's in store and how we can all play our part. Then just after one, Sarah will be back again to take a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. Then, inspired by true events, Stronger tells the gripping story of Jan, a teacher who is assaulted by her student. As Jan journeys through the legal system, she struggles to find closure and her life is in danger of falling apart. A glimmer of hope appears, but it could mean lying to the person she loves the most and confronting the person who has done her the most harm. As part of the ongoing Dublin Theatre Festival, this new play examines the practice of restorative justice. And to find out more about that, Ken will be talking to the play's author, Jeff Power, at about 1:15. And if that wasn't enough, each week before we finish the programme too, I let you know about jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take all of these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. Local stories with Ken Kilbride. Afternoon, Ken.
Well, see, this is the first time in 6 months I've actually worn trousers in here. Because it's colder out.
The winter is arriving. Yes, it has, yeah. With an abrupt announcement. Here I am.
Yes.
Right. Something else that people are not happy about are some of the residents out in Hoth. Planning permission has been approved for some new apartments there, despite the residents' objections to them.
Indeed. Well, Bord Pleanála has given the green light, fast-track approval, to the apartment scheme in Deer Park and Hoth. As I say, the appeals board however, reduced the scale of the scheme from 162 apartments to 113, or after ordering the removal of the top floor in each of the three apartment blocks, resulting in the maximum height going from 2, 4 and 5 stories. So the green light to GL PRS Holdings. The Deer Park scheme is one of three strategic housing development schemes comprising 620 units that the appeal board has granted planning permission for in Dublin. So in a separate case, the appeals board has granted planning permission to the Shoreline Partnership for an additional 338 houses, bringing it to 880 houses for the development called Coast, which will be just northwest of Baldoyle. So in relation to the park scheme in Hoth, three blocks, there's 51 third-party submissions were lodged to the appeals board. And in the submissions, locals were concerned that Hoth was being overdevelopment. And we've mentioned that there's going to be more apartments built down in the Techcrete site and all the development in the harbour. There's also saying that the local primary schools are already at capacity and that the density of the scheme is not in keeping with the character of the area. So Fingal County Council has also recommended that the planning permission be refused for the scheme under a number of headings. And they stated that the proposal would not be acceptable given the excessive scale within the extremely sensitive setting, which have a detrimental impact on the setting of protected structures in the area, including Hoth Castle. However, the appeals board stated that the reduced height and scale of the scheme would be appropriate and that the proposed development is acceptable in all other respects. The appeal board also stated that the scheme is on a strategic site for housing, as being one of only a few remaining vacant sites identified for housing in Howth. So what they're saying is there's only a little bit left out there, we're sticking houses on it.
Well, if you zone it for housing, which the county council would have done, don't be surprised they build houses on it. Isn't that it?
Yeah. Exactly. But I think there'll be some appeals to come on that.
Probably
one.
A bit to run on that, yes. Yeah. Now, tributes are paid to a Ballybock hero for 40 years of volunteering. Who are we talking about, Ken?
So we're talking about Mary Gorman, and she's well known for her love for her kindness and charitable natures around the area of Ballybock. She's been providing vital members with Meals on Wheels services for the North Inner City for a long time. And the Lord Mayor of Dublin, Alison Gilliand, was among those who have thanked Mary for her 4 years' decades of service. And the kind-hearted Dubliner was presented with a bouquet of flowers, a framed certificate as appreciation for her efforts. Dublin City Council also thanked Mary for her 4 decades of service in a Facebook post which read, Lord Mayor Alison Gilliand, on behalf of Dublin City Council, paid tribute to local volunteer Mary Gorman for 40 years of volunteering within the Ballybock community, in particular the Meals on Wheels service. Thanks, Mary, for all your kindness and commitment to this great initiative on behalf of community teams in the Central Area Office and everyone in Ballybuck and community. Then I was thinking, you know, you do 40 years and they give you a bunch of flowers, a frame certificate and a Facebook post. And you're going, maybe should they do more? But then you actually think, how many people actually get Dublin City Council writing a Facebook post against them about
True.
Them?
Very few.
It's unlikely both of us here are ever going to be mentioned by Faye for all the work we've done over 40 years. So she's obviously done something significant, and they have recognised it. So congratulations to her.
Yeah, well done to Murray or Mary. Now, Gerard takes on the world skipping record. Which Gerard is this?
So we're talking about local legend Gerard Prendergast, and he's best known for his victory at DECA UK in 2017. So this is 10 Ironman triathlons run in 10 days.
Wow.
So an Ironman is a 5 kilometre swim, 180 kilometres on the cycle, and then a 42 kilometre run. 42 kilometres is the same as a marathon, just in case you're looking for
In case anybody's wondering, you wouldn't do it before your breakfast, just let's say.
No, and then you have to do it 10 days in a row, and I say, I'm even tired just reading it out.
Wow.
So I say, Jer himself is a big fan of skipping. He says, skipping is a great exercise. They say it's 3 times more effective than running for general fitness, plus it's fun. Our plan is to break the world record for online skipping by getting as many people as possible tuning into Zoom online for wherever they are and skipping together for 1 minute at exactly 7 o'clock next Friday night. Anybody can join in. Doesn't matter if you can skip or not. If you trip up a few times, no problem, as long as you stay online. He says he's going to lead by example and expects to be joined by a large contingent of enthusiastic skippers from Ballymun and local schools and clubs. We're hoping to get students from Trinity Comprehensive School involved, but you don't have to be in Ballymun to give it a go. Because it's online, anywhere around the world can actually get involved. So the world skipping record attempt will take place between the runs at the Ballymun Running Festival. So they're going to have a 5k and a half marathon, and they're setting off at 6 o'clock. There's going to be a 10k setting off at 7:15. The day will actually begin with a darkness into light breakfast run at 7 o'clock, followed by a mud fun run at 11 o'clock. All runs are now competitive on a looped course around the school, with 9 laps making up 5 kilometres. Considering the time of the year, a fancy dress is welcome.
Super.
The event is promoted by mental health, to promote mental health through exercise, and supported by Dublin City Council, the Garda Síochána Mind and Body Fitness, the Ballymun Regional Youth Resource and Super Value. So if anybody's interested in this, you can contact Jer on 085-272-1770. That's Jer Prendergast at 085-272-1770. We might even tweet that out afterwards.
Will you have a go at that, Ken, yourself?
There's no reason why you can't.
Yeah, skip for a minute. I think any of us could do that, have a reasonable level of fitness.
I don't think the coordination is my problem. It's not the
it's not the fitness.
It's not the fitness part.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it seems, to be fair. Now, Dublin City Council are going to consider partially funding a Stardust Memorial at the site of the fire. So I presume that's at the Butterley complex there.
Indeed, yeah. So it's going to be located at the Butterley Business Park. It's understood that the owners of the business park are plans to redevelop the site and has proposed the construction of the memorial site to Dublin City Council. So Brendan Teeling, who's Dublin City Librarian, who we had on this programme very, very recently, gave a presentation to the North Area Committee last week, which involved the preliminary design of the monument. He said there was a support for the project from the Dublin City Councillors and the Commemoration and Commemorative Naming Committee. However, funding for the project and approval from the victims' families would have to be sought before approval could be given. Sinn Féin councillor, Commemoration and Commemorative Naming Committee chair, Micheál MacDonagh, who's from this parish, has spoken to families and they're largely in favour of the plans. However, not all families have seen the proposal, so they just want to go make it a formal one just yet. Lord Mayor of Dublin, who we just mentioned there, Alison Gilliland, who's also of this parish, also voiced her plans for the thing and said, "I would like to get feedback from families to make sure that they are happy with it," she said. "There's an application for a hotel and a build-to-rent scheme on the site adjacent to it, so I'm just conscious that where it's planned, it cannot be overlooked and allowed to be what it is." Brendan would have said the owners of the site sought €100,000 to develop the monument, with the council willing to pledge 50,000. He said that 25,000 would come from the commemoration committee, while 25,000 would come from the council's budget. However, a more detailed breakdown of the project and funding is not yet available. So councillors agree that, yeah, we should have a look at this. We should get it together. And again, after 40 odd years, it's probably a little bit late. Well, not late, but, you know, time to get it done.
Yeah, the cynic in me, and you know, it's great to see this being put forward, but the cynic in me would say they're only doing it now because they want planning for the hotel. That would be the cynic in me.
That would be, yes. I can understand where you can suggest that.
Yeah, but not to take from the fact that there always should have been something there,
yes,
anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have news of local prize winners in the very long-running Texaco art competition, and they've made the Northside proud, Ken.
Indeed they have. So 8 Northside students were among 29 young artists from the country who've won top prizes at this year's 67th Texaco Children's Art Competition. So in the 14 to 15 age range category, Zinru Zhu, who's a pupil in Holy Faith in Clontarf, won third prize for her artwork entitled Pineapple Slice. Zinru's work was described by final adjudicator Professor Declan McGonigal as an unusual work of subject that deployed real draftsmanship and an interesting, delicate painterly effects. Painterly is a new word I had here, but that's what he used, and he's a professor, so we're going to go with that.
Go with that.
So 7 North Dublin winners each won special merits award for artworks that Professor McGonigal also described as high skills and levels of imagination. So they were Tim Lavin, he's 11. He's from St. Fintan's National School in Sutton. Walt Russell, and he's 11, from School Assam in Raheny. Alicia Moche, and she's from Our Lady Immaculate Junior School in Darndale. Emily Birmingham, she's from Corpus Christi in Drumcondra. So there's obviously talented Birminghams in Drumcondra. I wonder if any relation to the talented Birminghams from Wexford. Eva Rose Brady and Saoirse Kinsella, and they're both from St. Paul's in Bowman School. Good to see Bowman getting a mention there. No strangers to the competition, Walt won second prize in the 9 to 11 in 2019, second prize in the 7 to 8 category in the 2018 competition, and a special merit award in 2017. Now, I've had the opportunity, I know we're on radio, so it's hard to do it, but I've seen the reproduction of the pictures, and, you know, particularly looking at the ones from Tin Lavin and Walt Russell at about 11, and you look at them and you go,
wow.
No way are they 11.
Wow, brilliant. And thanks a million, Ken, for the stories today. And the talented Sarah Birmingham will be here just after this. She's going to be talking to Amanda McArdle from the Walk in My Shoes live campaign. And looking forward to that after a little bit of Elvis. 90.3, this is Near FM. That's Elvis, of course, and Wooden Heart. Welcome back to The Week in Review. I'm here with Ken Kilbride and Sarah Birmingham. I'm Declan Ralph, and don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show, or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you're interested in, well, you can contact the show right now to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500 while the show is on air, or you can get in touch anytime at Near FM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. And Sarah's here now. Sarah, you have an interesting chat for us this afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Well, with World Mental Health Day coming up on October 10th, there's never been a better time to think about how we mind our minds. The Walk in My Shoes campaign by St. Patrick's Mental Health Services is calling on us all to make our mental health a priority. Throughout October, it's hosting an interactive online programme of wellbeing events, workshops and curated content as part of Walk in My Shoes Live, with themes including your wellbeing, family wellbeing and wellbeing in the community. The campaign is bringing people across Ireland and beyond together to learn about the things we can all do to support ourselves and each other. I'm delighted to be joined now by Walk in My Shoes campaign manager Amanda McArdle, who's here to tell us more about what's in store and how we can all play our part. Thanks a million for joining us on the programme, Amanda. Appreciate it.
Hi Sarah, thank you so much for having us. We're very excited to talk about WIMS Live.
Absolutely,
So,
yeah. I mean, we just mentioned briefly there, I suppose, before we started here, like the last kind of, it's really near almost nearly 2 years now, I suppose. What has it been like for the campaign and for everybody at St. Patrick's?
Well, for Walk My Shoes, I suppose it's nearly worked very well for us because we had to move everything online. So before we would have had schools come into the hospital and St. Patrick's Mental Health Services to take part in initiatives, or we would have had our award ceremonies here in the lecture hall. So because of COVID, obviously we had to move everything online, but it just made Walk My Shoes more accessible to everybody. So for things like awards and stuff, we now do YouTube premieres or premieres. For any of our events, we've now changed to webinars. We record all of them and we put them on our YouTube channel. So they're there for everyone. So I suppose when you think about it before, if a teacher couldn't come or if students couldn't come to our event here in the hospital, they can now access that event online. So yeah, it's worked very well for us.
That's fantastic. It's nice to hear kind of the advantages and the opportunities that have been created through it all as well, So what would you say WIMS, which is Walk in My Shoes, is all about, or what's it trying to do?
So, Walk in My Shoes in general is the flagship awareness raising and education campaign of St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. We run a number of events and initiatives throughout the year to just promote positive mental health and to spark that conversation with young people, especially. So, we have initiatives like Frame of Mind, which is our short film competition. That's not just only open to schools, that's also open to the general public as well. We also have our hashtag Mind Your Selfie event. That's a social media campaign that we run every year. And then we have our TY program, our transition year program, which is hugely popular. And that every year we invite 125 students from all around Ireland to take part in the TY program. And again, because of COVID, we had to move this program online last year, but it just made it more accessible to students coming from Mayo or Galway or, Donegal. So it's worked really well online. So that's another initiative we do. And then, of course, WIMS Live is our biggest one to date. And that, if anyone's familiar with the campaign, they would know we previously, before COVID, we used to do a pop-up radio station here in the hospital called WIMS FM or Walk in My Shoes Radio. And then obviously, due to the pandemic, we had to move things online and think outside the box. And so that's how WIMS Live was created. So last year, 2020, would have been the first year that we ran WIMS Live. And it was a week-long program of online activities or events and initiatives. But then this year we thought, that was so great for that 1 week. Let's do it for a month.
Why
And
not?
so that's why this year it's a month-long initiative. And it's really exciting. We love all the content. We've loads of like you said, we have a different theme for each week. So we have your well-being in the classroom, family well-being, and well-being in the community. So we think we're reaching everyone with those kind of themes. And then across each week we have a different webinar, a different podcast. A special guest takes over our Instagram, and what's the other thing we do? A well-being session. So all of these things are available on the website in their respective weeks. But so this week was week one of WIMS Live, and we ran a climate change webinar on Tuesday, which was very successful. That'll actually be on our YouTube channel in a couple of days' time if anyone wants to have a look that missed out on that. And then we had our Instagram takeover. The lovely Blatna Tracy took over our Instagram channel for Tuesday evening. And we had a well-being session. It was a workshop almost on journaling. If anyone is interested in journaling, that's up on our YouTube channel as well.
Loads to be accessed there, like, and I think when you talk about the program last year, it just shows the resilience that the service had and that young people had as well, that the likes of the TY program was still able to go ahead despite everything. What kind of role can people in the community play as ambassadors for promoting positive mental health?
Well, I suppose if we talk about the TY program, we always say the young people that graduate our program become mental health ambassadors, and they go back to their school and just start the conversation. Just let other young people and their peers know that it's okay to speak out. If you're feeling a certain way, speak out to somebody, whether it's a peer or a student or a parent. It's just about sparking that conversation and normalizing it. And it's absolutely fine to feel a certain way and just speak out.
And then looking at kind of parents and teachers, and there's been a lot said obviously about kind of mental health in the last couple of years, but if there was one thing, kind of one approach maybe that they could take to support a young person's mental health or to support their own child or young person, where's the best place to start with that?
Well, I would say welcome issues, just because a lot of teachers contact us. We have great relationships with teachers all across Ireland, and they do contact us. It's as simple as that. They get in touch and say, you know, at the moment we're not doing anything in our school to promote positive mental health. What can we do and how can you help us? And we give them those steps. So for instance, this year, at the start of the academic year, we always send out a school newsletter. So I would encourage any teacher to sign up to our school newsletters on our website. And in that, we send out everything to get them prepared for the school year in terms of promoting well-being or positive mental health. So we give them things like year planners to assist them. And the year planner has all of our information around the border, all the different events that they can get in involved with. And then in the calendar dates, we mark off, obviously, where a mental health day or, you know, for the new year, they might want to do their well-being weeks, loads of relevant dates, basically. So with the year planner, then we also this year we launched a new, I suppose, guide that assists teachers in the steps to take. So the first thing would be make contact, not with just the Welcome Issues, but any organisation that they want that promotes well-being and mental health. And yeah, just find out if they can get some resources. We, for instance, have a well-being banner, a well-being wall banner or wellness wall banner, and teachers can contact us. We post it out to them. We say just pick an obvious wall in school that students walk by every day and put up the banner and then build the wall. In that, you contact mental health organizations, ask them to send you out a few bits and just start sticking things to the wall. So even something as simple as a helpline card that a teacher sticks on the wall, that might not seem like that much, but a young person walking by might take down that number and feel like that's a good support to them.
It's just that moment, isn't it, that you can make that difference, that somebody picks something up and there you go, you know. But so can you tell us a little bit maybe then about what's in store next week, the following week with WIMS Live? What can people take part in and how can they get involved?
Yeah, so we've lots happening. Like I mentioned, every week has a webinar, a podcast, a wellbeing session and an Instagram takeover. So next week we have there's so much to remember. The webinar is actually targeted at teachers and parents, but specifically teachers. And it's focusing on student self-harm. So it's a very important topic. And the signs to look out for and how to spot those signs and things like that. So it'll be very useful to teachers. But as I said, parents are more than welcome to tune in as well. So that's happening on Monday, the 4th of October at 11 a.m. So you can still register now, I believe. But if the registration link is gone, they can just contact us through the info@email address and we can send the direct link to tune in. On Tuesday, then, our new ambassador, who I can't announce yet, he's being announced early next week. He's going to take over. Very exciting. He's going to take over our Instagram channel on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, we have a wellbeing session, a pre-recorded wellbeing session. But it's actually there's two in there. And because the theme of the week is wellbeing in the classroom, they're focused on targeting teachers and I suppose they're helpful resources for teachers. But one of them is for students as well, for teachers and students in the classroom. And it's about compassion. So compassion in the classroom and compassion for teachers. And then we have our podcast, who's joining us for the podcast. I can't remember.
Very
I can't just so many things to remember. Yeah, I'm really sorry, but it'll be on the website anyway. If anyone's interested, they can just log on to welcomeissues.ie and just go into the WIMS Live schedule and everything is in there across the 4 weeks.
There is loads there. I mean, I don't know if it's possible to boil it down to one message, but if there was kind of one message that you left people with kind of in the lead up to World Mental Health Day now next week, what's the kind of one message that the campaign would leave people with?
Well, actually, it's kind of fitting what we're asking people to do on World Mental Health Day this year. And it's just, you know, take care of yourself, think of yourself and get out and go for a walk, things like this. So something just very simple, out for a nice walk and just think of yourself.
That's it. It just shows how easy it is to do it when we do take the moment to think like that, as you say. Yeah, absolutely. So just to give people that website address one more time then, if people would like to log on and find out more about what's coming up.
Yeah, so the address is walkinmyshoes.ie and then the email is info@walkinmyshoes.ie if anyone wants to contact me.
That's a brilliant campaign. So definitely encourage people to get involved however they can and to take that message from it as well, to look after yourselves now as things open up and we head towards the winter and everything else. So really appreciate you just joining us today to tell us a little bit more about that, Amanda, and the very best of luck with the rest of the campaign.
Thanks a million, Sarah. I really appreciate it.
And indeed, thanks a million to Amanda and thanks to Sarah as well. And Sarah will be back in a couple of minutes after the break with all the events that are happening locally over the next few days. And then Ken, after that, will be here. Ken is going to have a chat with Jeff Power, who is the author of the play Stronger. So all of that to come in the Week in Review.
90.3. This is Neos FM.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
And welcome back to the Week in Review. Now, don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the programme that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500 while the show is on the air. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. So Sarah, welcome back to the show again, and thanks for that great interview earlier on. Now, the first event that we have today is the fact that Tradition Now is returning to the National Concert Hall.
It is absolutely, Declan, good to be back. Yes, so Tradition Now was a series that the National Concert Hall had covered and run throughout some of the early stages of the pandemic. The great news is now that they have a run of 7 concerts going on at the moment, continuing tonight and tomorrow night, and they're available both to live stream and to actually go into the concert hall and watch in person too. So it's an exciting kind of programme. It's part of their awesome series that they have going on at the moment, and they have a variety of leading and really kind of emerging and exciting new Irish musicians and dancers as well who are performing at the National Concert Hall. Tickets are priced from just €7.50, and that's for a live stream. And then there's in-person tickets, I think, a little bit more as well. So you have both options there. There's a concert on this afternoon at 2 o'clock, which is going to see Claudia Schwab, Kathy Jordan, Claire O'Brien, Newell Tosunbu and Derek White. And they'll take to the main stage for a rousing afternoon performance. Tonight sees Andy Irvine play the music of Woody Guthrie in his own style. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, then, the winner of the 2021 Lima Flynn Award and concertina player Jack Talty will take the lead from 8 o'clock, and he's going to be joined by an ensemble of leading Irish musicians in a collaboration which kind of honours both the excitement of a fantastic solo performance and then the real kind of traditional group playing set as well. So you'd have a little bit of both going on there, and that is going to follow what is billed to be a really kind of different, I guess, and really captivating performance by Leitrim dancer Edwina Gukian. She's going to be joined by Kathleen McGowan on the concertina. So it's very much blending kind of traditional with new and contemporary as well. And I guess that's what Tradition Now really is all about, the tradition of today and of the future. And yeah, if you want to check that out, you can go to nch.ie.
Brilliant. Yeah, it sounds like a rousing, I suppose, a few events there, you'd call it. And a great idea that you can actually go physically and see them, and also, if you like, tune in online as well. Fantastic that dual availability is there, isn't it?
It is, and that's something that we're seeing through a lot of the events. You know, a lot of the different types of festivals now have the ability, they've kind of been forced to innovate over the last year or so, and they have the capacity that you can access and really engage with the content online, and then you can actually go into venues too as well. So you have both options there to enjoy.
Brilliant, yeah. Now, theatres and cinemas opening up right around the country as well, and the Gays International LGBTQ Plus Film Festival is now running at the IFI and the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin.
Yeah, and these are another two venues that it's really great to see kind of back hosting events in person. Another festival where you can access a lot of the content online and digitally and from home as well. So you kind of have both going on. But for this festival in particular, I know they were kind of really taken aback last year. They had hoped that they'd be able to run the event in person, and as things happened then, they had to really seriously curtail it and go online, and now they have both back again. They have an exciting programme of films, documentaries, shorts and events as well, kind of geared towards filmmakers and then audiences too, obviously. So this year's festival has an expanded programme. There's short films, there's a carefully curated selection of feature films, there's documentaries which shine a light on the experience of communities around the world and more besides as well. So lots there. If you're kind of a film buff, I suppose it's great to see the variety of different types of film festivals that Dublin hosts now. And Gaze in particular describes itself as a community arts festival which is built for and by Ireland's LGBTQ plus community. So I mean, the team of staff and volunteers there who make it happen have had a particularly challenging year, like so many other events and entertainment professionals, but this year's festival is showing a great variety of works in the IFI and the Lighthouse. Tonight and tomorrow's events are going to include a 25th anniversary screening of the film Beautiful Thing. It's a small kind of independent film from the UK which really had an impact on a whole generation of cinema goers and video renters alike.
Remember them? Yeah.
Still a thing. But it was a thing when a lot of these films came out.
Yeah.
So some nostalgia there probably. That's going to be shown in the IFI at 20 to 9 tonight. And then there's films, documentaries and lots more that you can access as well through the IFI at home service. And they're all there for you to enjoy without having to actually leave the comfort of your own house as it is. So yeah, all the details on that festival and the full programme and all the works that are part of it, you can see at gaze.ie, and that's gaze.ie.
Now, our favourite local theatre, I suppose we might call it. We talk about it a lot. They did a great job keeping the show on the road virtually while the pandemic was ongoing. Access Ballymun, I'm talking about.
They did, yeah, they absolutely did. Fantastic, real, just local sense of innovation, keeping the show on the road, literally. And now it's fantastic to see shows back in the venue. And they're currently hosting an event as part of Dublin Theatre Festival. And it was fantastic to chat with them on the show recently. And this week they are in the Access Ballymun in that wonderful venue there to host one of the festival's works, which is called Raring is Sparing. An interesting title. The play is a love letter, they say, to the mothers of Dublin's north inner city and beyond. So maybe some people can identify themselves in that category. It tells the story of mothers Maria and Anita. And what happens here is that both of their lives have been totally changed by the actions of each other's son, the other mother's son. And they tell the story on stage of their sons and what they've done and what they've been involved in. And they're not denying that, or they're not defending it. They're just telling it like it is. And it's just very raw, and it's a new work. And really the message in it is that if you're rearing a child of your own, then you can be sparing with your judgment, maybe about other people's children and other people's parenting styles, perhaps. The play stars Denise McCormack and Karen Ardiff. They say it's suitable for ages 14 plus. It has that little bit of grittiness to it. So you might want to bear that in mind. It's currently enjoying a 4-night run at the theatre, which is rounding off tonight, and then it's going to be available to view on demand next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. You can access it online too. And yeah, I mean, it's just one of many different events that the Axis are hosting this autumn. You know, it's been great to see their programme out as well, so it's worth checking that out at accessballymun.ie. and all of the Axis social media channels, their Facebook page, are always busy and always updated with all the latest happenings, so worth checking those out as well.
Sounds really interesting. It does sound almost that we'll know some of these people in this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's all about. I think being back in theatres now, we can really bring characters to life, really see them and hear them. And it's suddenly kind of three-dimensional, I suppose. The online definitely has its place. But I think in terms of characters like that, it's brilliant to see theatre back in theatre venues.
Yeah, in full 3D, as they say. Now, from somewhere that's firmly planted on the north side, you're not suggesting, Sarah, that we take a trip across the south side, are you?
Well, it's a dangerous thing for someone from as far away as Wexford to be suggesting that you might cross the other side of the Liffey, but there are
You're safe down there. You're safe.
There are some positives to it. This might be a nice one, you know, for literary kind of fans and people who enjoy a good read and a good book and a good Irish writer, which she firmly is. But this one is maybe going to entail you taking a little trip down to Dalkey. So if that's something that you might bear with for a day, maybe. It's all about Maeve Binchy and the festival that's been running since 2017, the Echoes Festival. I mean, Maeve Binchy kind of, you know, I suppose people, you know, maybe kind of have whatever kind of perception, you know, about her work and its place in literary history, but it's been translated into more than 40 different languages. And I think the thing about it is that it is really accessible, and it kind of tells the story of people and families and friends. That's really relatable to a lot of people, I suppose, you know, maybe even people from the north side as well. The Echoes Festival celebrates Maeve Binchy's works, her life and her writings, and it kind of throws in some other great Irish writers and books as well. It's really become a fixture on the calendar there in Dalkey, and it takes place again this weekend at Dalkey Castle and Heritage Centre. They collaborate the programme along with Maeve's husband Gordon Snell, and it celebrates her writing and her legacy, as well as the best of Irish writing and contemporary Irish writers. I mean, if you do fancy taking a trip down there tomorrow, for example, you'll find a guided Maeve Binchy themed walk full of stories and anecdotes, and that's going to be kicked off in some style with a sea swim at 10:30 led by the Irish author Ruth Fitzmaurice. So if that whets your taste buds, you'll certainly be wet if you go for the morning swim, then go online and check it out at echoes.ie.
Brilliant. Yeah, and of course Maeve, a local resident of Dalkey as well, for many, many years during her lifetime. So fantastic opportunity. And of course, I'm only slagging the south side. Dalkey is a lovely part of the south side. If you're going to go south side, go to somewhere like Dalkey. It's very nice and a very fitting place to be reviewing the local residents' work, if you like. Now, we've just turned the corner into October, and Halloween is coming at the end of the month, and so is the graveyard tour suggestion to help kickstart the month.
Yeah, I mean, Golden Bridge run tours every day at 10:30 in the morning for the month of October, and they're hosted by the people at Richmond Barracks. I know we've talked a lot about the cultural offerings that Richmond Barracks put on too, another great institution. And for the month of October, they have tours of Ireland's first garden cemetery, Golden Bridge, at 10:30 every day of the month. Again, like, very accessible outdoors. It's a nice kind of something different maybe to do. You can follow in the footsteps of Daniel O'Connell, who founded the cemetery almost 200 years ago as Ireland's first non-denominational burial ground. So a bit of innovation there as well. And if you do head along, you can hear about the site's unique history, including the vaults, the watchmen, the Cuban guard dogs, and they say even the body snatchers. Now, I hope there won't be any body snatchers around when any of our listeners go, but the tour also visits the graves of two former Taoiseach, as well as those of men, women and children whose stories shine a light on 19th century Ireland. So if you're into history, I think that would be certainly one to kick off the month of October. Tickets for the tour are just €6 to €8, and they do say that booking in advance is essential. It does help them, and obviously it gives an idea of numbers and everything else too. It's hosted by the people at Richmond Barracks, and you can find the information on their site on the events tab at richmondbarracks.ie.
Thanks a million, Sarah, for doing the events this week. Brilliant as always, and we'll talk to you next week about what's happening at that time.
Looking forward to it, Declan. Thanks.
See you then.
It's Saturday. Sport, culture, music and more.
Here, FM.
This is Near FM on 90.3. Hi there, I'm Ken Kilbride, with Declan Ralph and Sarah Birmingham, and you're very welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you have anything you would like us to feature, you can contact us on text. That's text 087-6944500. That's text 087-6944500, or email weekinreview@near.ie. Before we begin, just to let you know, some listeners may find the subject content of this interview distressing. Inspired by true events, Stronger tells the gripping story of Jan, a teacher who is sexually assaulted by her student. As Jan journeys through the legal system, she struggles to find closure, and her life is in danger of falling apart. Being delivered as part of the Dublin Theatre Festival, this tense new drama deals with the emerging practice of restorative justice and the very human stories that it serves.
I'm now joined by the writer of the play, Jeff Parr, to tell me more about it. Good afternoon, Jeff. How are you? And very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Ken. Yeah, no, delighted to be here.
For this play, I believe you've been in contact with the victim, and that has given you the inspiration for this work. Could you tell me more about that?
Sure. It was back at towards the end of 2013 or start of 2014, I think. I was about to put a play on in at the New Theatre, and I was kind of on the lookout for new ideas, something else to write about. I spotted an article in the Irish Times about a seminar that had taken place, or conference that had taken place around maybe a week or so before then. And it detailed something I wasn't familiar with, which was the process of restorative justice. And, you know, a lot of people probably still are not aware of it. I suppose I was a little bit surprised because I teach one day a week in the Midlands prison in Portlaoise, and so thought I had a fair grip on the justice system. And this was something new, and particularly the story of a woman spoken at the conference, a case that had happened in the UK, and she'd become quite high profile with the engagement process there in the UK around restorative justice, and because the particulars of her story were quite severe, for want of a better word, but she had gone through that process and come out the other side feeling much lighter and freer and cathartic. The process had been very cathartic for her. And she'd always said to me, when you know, I suppose jumping ahead there, I contacted, I thought it would be a very powerful moment when, if and when it was a story, was the narrative was well developed, that moment where she met her perpetrator at the end of that restorative justice process, and I thought it could be quite theatrical, and so I contacted the UK branch of restorative justice and wasn't expecting to hear back from them, but they did put me in touch with her, and shortly afterwards, the play I was about to stage in New Theatre happened, and then, you know, about a month or two later, I travelled over to meet her, and scribbled down, you know, some notes and tried to bang out a draft from that, but felt it wasn't quite there, and returned about a year later to visit her again and her husband, and this play has been kind of in my head or thereabouts for quite some time, and I kind of let it go, or, you know, didn't do much with it for a while, and we got back to it, and eventually, you know, I suppose it began to take good shape or much better shape, and that's when I suppose we started looking for ways to stage it, and Gunanua came on board about 2 or 3 years ago, and so it started to become a possibility that some draft of it, because it went through various drafts, you know, would finally reach the stage.
So as you say, you first talked to the person back in, you know, 2013 2014, you talked to Gunanua 3 or 4 years ago, so this work has been in development for a while. And alongside that, you know, there has been the growing practice of restorative practice. So could you tell me just a little bit about the concept or the idea behind that?
Yeah, it's been here in Ireland for about 20 years. I can't remember the exact year it was first introduced, but it's not that well developed even still. For instance, you know, I know from my experience in teaching in prison that many of the lads probably aren't that familiar with it. It's not, you know, it's usually, it tends to be begun, any such meeting will happen when the victim of a crime will approach a restorative justice practitioner about that, a possible meeting with an offender. Generally speaking, it will involve crimes that are of a lesser nature, really less violent, not of a sexual nature. Often petty crime, you know, if a burglar might, or somebody Robert might enter a news agent. It could be that is a moment or a case that could end up along this path. But this particular woman was incredibly brave because of what she went through. When I met her originally, I wasn't aware of the details and was shocked by what had happened and the impact it had on her family life. And so she became very much a pioneer for it there. There have been one or two cases here, I think. Certainly one that I'm aware of over here, somebody who had been sexually assaulted, went through same engagement process here. But it's such a, I suppose, because often as somebody who's been attacked in this way may know the person who committed the crime, and makes it all the more difficult, all the more a traumatic experience to even consider meeting that person in through this process. Obviously, the story I've written has become an Irish one. It's been transposed to Ireland, and also there are details that you know it's kind of evolved in its own way through the writing process and through collaboration with others during the course of bringing it to the stage. But it's still, you know, so it does remain a very incredibly raw and difficult kind of process for anyone to consider. But I suppose I was inspired by that woman in the UK who felt that she always told me, for instance, that she got her life back after she did go through RJ, as it's often known.
I mean, I'm just a personal observation, more than yes, but I would have thought, you know, is there a value to the victim? You know, because I would have thought for some people, you know, particularly in the nature of some crimes, people would find it hard to forgive.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole point of research justice is that it is a benefit to both parties, that it's a controlled and safe environment when they meet, and it's very carefully prepared. Both people involved are well managed, if you like, in the lead up to any potential meeting, and it is something which, I can't give you the actual percentages of those that are deemed successful, meetings that are deemed successful, but I know I can only imagine that sitting opposite the person who has in some way offended you, however that might be, whether petty crime or something more serious, that to understand what or why they committed that particular offence can be a healing moment, you know, that it can help to I suppose move on in your life, and to understand and to accept what or why that person did what he or she did.
So obviously, I mean, I say, you know, this has been a work that's taken a while to get put together, and you know, it deals with a very important topic, and obviously, say you've written the play now at this stage, but obviously you need some people to bring it to life. So you put together quite an interesting cast for it.
Yeah, I suppose I'm very lucky. Yeah, and as is Gunanua, that we have five really really strong actors who have committed to it. There are seven characters in the play, so two of the actors play two parts. But yes, Mary Murray, people may know her from Love Hate. She plays the character Jan, and her husband, if you like, the character who plays the husband, his name is Rob Robert, and played by Marcus Lamb, and Scott Graham plays the student, because she was a teacher, and I've kept that. The woman in the UK was a teacher, and impacted by a student. That's the same scenario or beginning that we have in the play. And he's played by, his name is Damon, and he's played by Scott Graham, who was in an Oscar-nominated short film people may know called Pentecost, directed by written and directed by Peter MacDonald, which from about maybe 10 years ago now, or 9 years ago. Fintan Larney and Jen O'Dea are also the perform in the play as well.
Okay, well, thanks so much. I say, while it has started its run, but if people are interested in going seeing it, so where's it on and where can you get tickets for it?
Smock Alley at 7:30. We had our opening night last night, which is a delight. It was great to be there, to be in a theatre and to witness it come together. So Smock Alley, Dublin Theatre Festival, their website, you can, there may still be tickets available. It continues until the 9th. Let me just double check that. I should know. It's the 9th is the last day. It's a Saturday, next Saturday.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Obviously, just then, that's where you're getting, but as part of this, obviously not everybody can get into the theatre these days. And you're doing a webinar in support of it on the 7th.
That's right. So we have a couple of people, you know, Nolan Blackwell from the Rape Crisis Centre. Yeah. And we've a number of people who speak at that and to kind of go through the whole process and I suppose, to try and explain where or how it works in more detail and how it may impact on people. I mean, as the play is very much about, I suppose, about trauma and how it impacts on people, not just the person offended, but also her family in this case. But you know, that may apply to others who may wish to engage in the process. You know, the implications of that would be kind of talked through or explained at the webinar.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Ed. I really appreciate you coming along telling us all about that today, and I hope that the rest of the run goes well for you.
Great. No, delighted. Thanks so much, Ken.
Appreciate it.
And thanks a million indeed to Jeff and Ken. So before we finish, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that we usually do at this time in the programme. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. And this week, in fact, there are 32 requests for volunteers and 338 job offers, believe it or not. Now, the volunteering opportunity is with the North Wall Community Development Project. They were formerly known as the North Wall Women's Centre. It was established back in 1985, actually, by a group of local women. Over the years, the centre recognised that its central message needed to be communicated to a broader community if the centre was to provide global perspective on women's issues, child welfare, social exclusion, and facilitate interagency solutions, rather than focusing just on single issue perspectives and single agency solutions. Now, they're looking for board members. Board meetings take place every month with a commitment for subcommittee work on alternative months, and the meetings take place in Lower Sheriff Street and are currently in the early morning time. It's a voluntary board of management, so no fees will be paid to board members. And if you're interested in that, further details can be got from Nessan Vaughan. And Nessan is the company secretary, and you'll get Nessan via email, Nessan Vaughan, that's NessanVaughan at iCloud.com. Or there's a phone number as well for Nessan, 087-251-5307. And the application closing date is Friday, the 22nd of October. Now, the job offer I want to highlight today is one from Early Childhood Ireland. They are the leading organisation in the early years sector. It supports 3,900 childcare members who in turn support over 120,000 children and their families through preschool, after school and full day care provision nationwide. Early Childhood Ireland provides a range of professional supports and services for its members and campaigns for better childcare provision in Ireland. They're looking for a press officer who will be a member of the Policy, Advocacy and Campaigns team, the PAC team, but serves as a resource and contributor right throughout the organisation. Now, if that's something that interests you, you can apply by submitting a letter of application and an up-to-date CV of no more than 3 pages, they say, for the attention of Rita Dolan, and you can get Rita Dolan at recruitment@earlychildhoodireland.ie. That's recruitment@earlychildhoodireland.ie. Before 12 noon on Thursday the 14th of October is when those applications need to arrive. Well, believe it or not, that is it for this week for the Week in Review. Thanks a million to all our contributors to the programme this week. And as always, if you want to get in touch, the best way to do that is on Twitter. You'll get me at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. So from Sarah, Ken and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll all be back at the same time next week. That's 12:30, Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.